Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, my name is Wanda McKinley, and my co-host, Stephanie Kennedy Alford. I am the founder of We Are Survivors, which is a nonprofit organization for abused men, women, and children. Our purpose is to provide temporary shelter, counseling, and employment training. We want to help individuals transition from abusive situations to being self-sufficient men and women in society. We Are Survivors' vision is to empower men, women, and children to show them that they can thrive and survive in society on their own, as well as showing them what a new perspective is when it comes to having a normal life. I am a survivor of domestic violence. My biological father, as well as my stepfather, abused me sexually, and my ex-husband was also very abusive. He was sexually, financially, verbally, emotionally, and physically abusive. And I was with him for 12 years. God has called me to be transparent so that I may help other individuals who have walked or may be walking in my shoes. Hello, Stephanie. How are you doing today? Let me put her on the mic so she can hear me. Can you hear me now, Stephanie?
Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
I can now. How are you?
I'm doing okay. What about yourself?
I'm managing. Got to drive way to Mansfield. My pastor had surgery, so I just want everyone to keep him in his prayers, in your prayers. So I'm just kind of nerve-wracked about that because it's gone a little bit longer than we anticipated. But it's in God's hands, so
we will definitely keep him in prayer.
Thank you. Thank you. Before we get into our fundraising events, I'm excited about the person that we're going to be speaking with today, and her name is Dr. Jennifer Hobson. She is a national speaker, a presenter. She actually just wrote a book. So I'm excited about her being able to come on the show and tell our listeners about her survival, what she's gone through. I'm sorry, my other line is going off. Excited about to listen to what God has brought her through and the different changes in her life, and what she's going to share with us is her survival story, her book, things that she has going on. I had the privilege of actually reading what she wrote, and it is amazing the things that she went through and where she's at right now in life. So I'm excited about that. We'll give you more details about the name of the book and how to purchase the book as soon as we get her on. But before we get into talking to Dr. Hobson, Stephanie, tell us about our fundraising events.
We currently have several fundraisers that we would love for everybody to participate in, any or all. We have the Kroger Plus Rewards Card. If you currently have a Kroger Plus Rewards Card, or you can pick up a Kroger Plus Rewards Card if you go to Kroger.com, register it. And if you once you register it, if you start typing in We Are Survivors will come up, and you just click on it, and it will link you to We Are Survivors. And each quarter, according to what you spend, because we all buy groceries, so according to what you spend, Kroger's will give a donation to We Are Survivors. The same thing with Tom Thumb. If you go on to TomThumb.com, they have a form that you will complete, and you just link your Tom Thumb card to We Are Survivors, and according to what you spend, they will send us a donation. We also do the CPN fundraiser. It's a discount card. You get discounts all over the U.S., and it's only $15. Half of that comes to We're Survivors. And then we also have before we go to that one, I almost forgot one, the Compass Bank. If you currently have a Compass Bank account, or if you open a Compass Bank account, if you link it to We Are Survivors according to how many times you use your card, then they'll give us a donation as well. But we also participate in a fundraiser with a photographer, and I'm going to let Wanda share that one because she has done her her photos, and she did some beautiful photos. So I'm going to let her talk to you about those. Go ahead, Wanda.
Thank you. It's called the Purple City Project, and it is a domestic violence awareness photo shoot. And you can book it, whether it's personal or professional. And the photographer's name is Charles, a.k.a. City. And the purpose of this particular fundraising event is a portion of the proceeds will be donated to We Are Survivors so that we may be able to provide hotel rooms for men, women, and children when there are no beds available in the shelters. And actually, we had an experience like that this week. There are four different packages, and one of them is actually, I'm going to discuss two. One is a $55 package, and it is a 20-minute session, up to four people, unlimited shots, one look, which is one change of color, well, actually one outfit, so you only get to wear one outfit, and two edits. And with that, you get to pick two of your favorite poses for him to fix it up and make it seem really like this is a Photoshop, make it look really nice. And those are your two pictures that you take away for $55. Then we have the $80 package, which is valued at $160. 45-minute session, up to four people. It's unlimited shots. Again, two looks, so it means you get to change clothes, and four edits. And like Stephanie said, I did mine, actually, to be honest, in November, and I'm still trying to pick out my four pictures. He laughs, and he's being really patient with me, but that just goes to show you he takes really good pictures. I actually took a total of 303 pictures, which is a lot of pictures, but it was really fun. It was a great experience, and I would recommend doing it because, once again, we do have those phone calls where someone is needing to leave a situation immediately, and I literally had a phone call of that sort this week, and she called me because there were no beds available. And I was able to reach out to a lot of resources that We Are Survivors have and it was amazing at the different responses and phone calls and emails that I received to be able to help this young lady. And she is actually 32, and her boyfriend has been abusing her. She's from out of state, and she was okay with it until he started abusing her three-year-old daughter, and that's when she had enough. So the fundraisers that we are talking about really are very important that you all participate. A lot of them, the Kroger's, the Tom Thumb, the Compass, those things, you don't even have to come out of your pocket for extra money. You just you go about your everyday life, you go grocery shopping, you use your bank card for whatever purchases you do on a day-to-day basis, and a percentage of that goes to We Are Survivors. It's just that simple. And anything you can do, we appreciate it. Now, I'm excited about our guest,
And I'm going to reintroduce her as I open up her line. And once again, her name is Dr. Jennifer Hobson. She is a national speaker, a presenter, a known expert in the field of performing arts and event production. She has been a keynote speaker to some very extraordinary events. She is a survivor. She is an author. And without going into any more details, to allow her to be able to tell us about who she is, Dr. Hobson, how are you today?
Hi, thanks for having me.
Thanks for being a guest. How are you today?
I am doing wonderful. Just blessed to be here, excited about telling my story.
After reading your portion of your book, I'm excited for you to be able to share, because it was the things that you experienced and how you persevered and the person that you are now. It is amazing that what I've learned, God will take us through so many different changes in life so that we can educate and help others. And your story to me is so powerful because you went through so much as well young. And because of what your mother taught you growing up, it's like those, that foundation is what helped you and brought you through your trials and tribulations. So I'm going to let you take over from here, introduce yourself, and just let everyone know about you and who you are and what you've gone through and how God has brought you to the point that you are in life right now.
Absolutely. Well, thank you again for the opportunity. I am Dr. Jennifer Hobson, and, you know, if you would have asked me 15, 17 years ago if I would have ever seen myself in this place, absolutely not would have been my answer. nothing but the grace of God. And, you know, when he calls you, he equips you. And so I want to talk about, obviously, my book. Thank you for reading my chapter. I am a co-author in the Amazon best-selling book in three categories, Shift On, produced by Nikki Woods, who's the senior producer of the Tom Joyner Morning Show. I am, again, one of the co-authors. My chapter is called Shifting on Purpose, and it is the third chapter in the book. In the book, I discuss how I survived domestic abuse with a focus on lessons learned. This book, Shift On, is about 20 stories of turning trials into triumphs. So it is absolutely a book of motivation, encouragement. There are 20 different stories of all believers, ironically. Hadn't been planned that way, but that's how God brought us together. All of us learning to find our faith and our trust in God to get through our trials. The trials in the book include financial trials, losing a loved one, abuse, you name it, there's a story about it. My story is about domestic abuse and how I overcame. I entered into an abusive relationship my freshman year out of high school, away from everyone, away from my church, away from my family, away from my mother. Went to a city that I really didn't know, didn't have support, and abuse found me. And as naive as I was, yet book smart and prepared for the world to be successful, it was the foundation that my mother instilled in me to persevere, to keep going, that no one could take my future. That allowed me to continue to fight and to strive for what I knew I deserved. Now it took a while. I left one abusive relationship, went into another, but thankfully I am no longer a victim. I do not even consider myself a survivor. I'm an advocate, and I'm thankful for that opportunity. So in the book, I just share how I entered into an abusive relationship at the age of 17. the signs that I missed, what it looked like, what it felt like, how I reached out for help, and after leaving one abusive relationship, how then I entered into a second abusive relationship. What were the signs that I missed? How I got myself help? Who helped me? What was crucial in my survivorship? Who was and what was? Although I credit the counseling that I received, and I mentioned a couple of the organizations that helped me, if it had not been for my spiritual growth, if it had not been for my pastor alongside, laying alongside that, learning about abuse, learning the cycle of abuse, learning the tools that are used against us by the enemy, if I had not had that spiritual growth, I know for certain I would not have survived. So I credit both the process, but also my spiritual growth, my spiritual leaders, that allowed me to make the choice, because shifting is a choice. Shifting on purpose is absolutely a choice that you make. In domestic abuse, it often is a difficult choice to make for many reasons. A lot of women are frankly just scared. They're fearful. It's scary to think that you walk away. What do you do? Even if you're the sole breadwinner. In my case, I was the sole breadwinner. And so most people thought, well, what's going to be hard? You're doing everything by yourself anyway. But that's not the case. Domestic abuse has so many different tenets. It has so many different arms. It has so many different myths about it. And so many women, young ladies who are in abuse, they are fearful to leave. They are fearful to ask for help. And that's exactly what cripples us. And that's exactly what the enemy wants to keep us in the situation. We have to remember that the Lord said, fear not, which means fear's not going to not come to us. It's going to come, but it's a choice. And when I finally made the choice to not fear, when I finally made the choice to listen to the Lord when he said, go, I have more for you. This is not of me. When I finally trusted the Lord, him completely, solely, and stepped out, when I finally did that, then fear left. And I left. And when I left for good. So I just kind of discussed that process. What, and through my process in healing and overcoming and shifting from victim to survivor, and even more so from shifting from survivor to advocate, I remember as my prayers changed, as I continued to grow, I remember the day that the Lord showed me Genesis 50:20. And I remember him telling me that everything that I had been through was not for me. And I remember kind of looking up thinking, you've got to be crazy. This is not for me. And I mean, the Lord will speak to you. And he told me point blank, everything you've gone through was not for you. I'm going to use you overcoming what I've done for you, all the glory that I've received, I'm going to use it for other women. And he took me to that scripture, and I thought, my God, I survived so that you could use me. I'm available. Mm-hmm. And so that is when my shift on purpose went from being a survivor to being an advocate. So now every chance that I get, and I'm moving full time into advocacy, I am ministering to women. I am producing events that support them, that provide them resources that they need. I speak to young women. I volunteer. I'm involved with the organization that helped me so much. It is my purpose. I know that now. I know that without a shadow of a doubt. And now that I have survived it and I can speak to it, but I can help other women who are scared, who are fearful, who have no idea how to get out, who, you know, they have, I've met women whose situations were far worse than mine. I've met women that, you know, I thought in my mind, gosh, she can get out of this. But the more that I speak to women, the more that I speak to moms, the more that I speak to their children, the more that I hear them, the more that I pray with them, and the more that I learn about abuse, I just keep documenting, I keep learning so I can continue to share that knowledge and help other women to, one, either survive, shift themselves, or they have to make a choice, to shift on purpose out of being a victim into a survivor, or educate women so that we no longer have women entering into abusive relationships unknowingly. I firmly believe that if women know the signs, if they know what to look for, if they know the red signs, if they know those flashing lights, if they know the tenets, the facets, and the hands of abuse, if they can recognize them and see them, I firmly believe we will have less women and less families stuck in abusive relationships, because it affects families for generations. That's the word of God. So if we can step in, if we can be available, if we can educate, if we can teach the word of God and teach women how they're made and how God made them and what he has for them and what a husband looks like and what a mate looks like and how God made men and how God made women and all those, the tools of the enemy and how they will not prosper against us, everything we need is in the word. In fact, I have found that everything in counseling came from the word of God anyway. So it all comes back to our word. So that's my purpose now. My purpose now is to help other women. And as long as I have breath, I will do that.
Wow. Now, you talked about the after. Your life after your abuse.
Yes.
Can you walk us through what happened to you? I know because I've read it. But for the people that are listening, they don't know what you went through. And if you can, you've kind of did this reason why you're at this point and what you're doing, but we don't know what you went through to get to the point that you're at today. I do.
Absolutely.
I want you to share your remarkable story.
Oh, absolutely. And I don't want to give too much away, because I definitely think the book is a value.
Right.
I think every woman needs to get it. But I can tell you how I got here. You know, for me, in my journey, in my walk in abuse and deciding to leave and deciding to shift, I got here not by necessarily initially loving myself enough or even having faith enough for myself here, because when the abuse came to my children, I got a righteous indignation to fight, literally.
Mm-hmm.
And it was that righteous indignation to see abuse reaching for, touching my seed, my children, who God trusted in me, the fear left. The manipulation and the control no longer had its hold on me.
Mm-hmm.
The desire and the need, the fire in my gut to get out, to get help, to save my children, to prevent my daughter from ever having to live through anything I experienced, that's what got me here. To know that abuse is learned, and to know that the only way my son, who's going to be a king, who's going to lead his own family, to have learned that the only way that he would become an abuser is if he learned it. And by my negligence and my lack of leaving, I allowed my son to learn, and then learning that he would have to unlearn, that righteous indignation overpowered everything that was holding me there. That is literally what got me to where I'm at now. That's what allowed me at the age of 18 to walk away. That's what walked me into the family place alone, without, starting over from the beginning, a sophomore in college and pregnant. It was that. Plain and simple. And unfortunately, that is the common story for many women. Unfortunately, we don't love ourselves enough, but a lot of times it takes our children being abused for us to see it and say, enough is enough. Now, I'm not having this. Now, what do I need to do to get away? That's what got me here. Like I said, I walked into the family place and I said, I need help. And that in and of itself is hard. Being raised by a mother who is and has always been the success story of our family, being raised by a mother who told me that no one could ever take anything from me because they could not take my mind, having a mother who said, you will get a job at 11 and you will be successful, having a mother who had me in corporate America at 11 and 12 as a secretary, having a mom who helped me start my own business and said, okay, you're going to be a dancer, but let me show you how to make money so you can survive. So now you're going to go behind behind the camera. You're not just going to dance. You're going to be a choreographer. You're going to run a business. You're going to be a dance teacher. Having a mother who in the 60s was a straight-A student, was often beat up, chastised, ran out of all-white schools, the first in the family to go to college, get a degree, to raise her child by herself, one of the first African-American executives at IBM, that was my mother. So it was ingrained in me that I was going to succeed. I had no other choice. It was ingrained in me, you don't stop. You find a way. You get over the wall. There's a wall in front of it. You either go around it, you dig a hole under it, or you climb over it. But you're getting through that wall. So to have that kind of mother who had such high expectations but also laid the foundation for me, it was ingrained in me I could give up. But unfortunately, a lot of women don't have that foundation. So that's how I was able to say enough is enough, and I'm walking into wherever I need to walk in, and I'm asking for help from whoever I need to ask for help. That's how I made the shift on purpose. That's why I named my chapter, because I truly made a choice. And that choice was purposeful. And that choice and how I arrived here today, literally, with my son who is 17, about to be a senior, my daughter who's 14, almost 15, and I look back, and every time I look back, tears flow because he's brought us a mighty far way. But that's because I made a choice to shift on purpose. I made the choice that I was not going to live the rest of my life, and my children were not going to live the rest of their lives in an abusive home. That's how I ended where I'm at.
Yeah, and I do understand that because for me, that was my child. Was actually 23, she was my reasoning for leaving because I didn't want her to grow up thinking that this was this is the way a relationship is. It's okay for your husband or boyfriend to treat you this way. I didn't want her to grow up thinking that that was the normal way to be because it's not. So you're right when you said a lot of women – We'll stay there, but when it comes to our children, for a lot of us, that is our motivation to leave that situation because we're looking at our babies, and they're looking at us.
Yes.
And a lot of times we think we're hiding or protecting them, but they know.
Right.
They
know. Oh, and our kids know a lot more. They know a lot more than we give them credit for.
Yes.
You know, I think, sir, I end my chapter with 3 lessons learned, and so I highly encourage any woman, if you know someone who's in abuse, if you are in an abusive relationship, even if it's not abuse, if it's just an unhealthy relationship, I ended the chapter with 3 lessons learned. And I know by far the greatest lesson that I learned about abuse as I was learning about my own situation and what was abuse, and why was I feeling the way that I was feeling, and what was wrong with all of these different aspects of abuse. I think the major misconception is that abuse is just physical. And a light bulb went off for me when I was in counseling, when I learned, you know, abuse is not just a punch. It's not just a kick. It is not just a strangle or a chokehold. A lot of abuse and the abuse that has more of an effect, especially on our children, is abuse that you can't physically see, that you can't see on the body, that you haven't seen. So when I was taught and I learned that, oh my gosh, there's a such thing as called emotional abuse, there's a such thing as physical abuse, what? Manipulation? Wait a minute. Control? Wait a minute. Finance? What? Finance? Yeah. You can be controlled. Mm-hmm. You can be manipulated. And see, again, all of that is taught to us in the Word of God. I mean, look at the spirit of Jezebel. I fell out my seat in church when my pastor broke down the spirit of Jezebel and manipulation. And I then was able to take that and cross-reference it with manipulation and emotional and verbal abuse in the abuse cycle. I said, oh, my Lord, this is a tool of the enemy. No wonder. Because I remember in my abuse feeling like I had a black cloud over me constantly. And I could never explain it to anybody. I just had this constant headache, this constant cloud, this constant verbal lashing, drainage. And I could never put my finger on, I could never voice it to anyone but everyone saw the toll and the effect it took on my body. I gained weight. I was unhealthy. I was in and out the hospital. I mean, I'm a professional dancer and choreographer. I had never had asthma before, ever had asthma before. Stress will do it to you. I was a normal 140-pound, 5'5", professional, modern, master ballet teacher. When my weight got up to 210 pounds, and I looked at myself in my own driver's license picture, I saw what everyone else kept telling me. And it was taking an effect on me. And so that was learning the different aspects of abuse, the tenets, the hands, the limbs. Education is powerful. The Word of God says, study to show yourself approved. I studied and I showed myself approved. And so I think the more that we can educate our women, educate our families, and know that women are not the only ones that are abused. Men are abused. I've met men that who have been abused.
Yeah.
I had one man from my church, my old church, who actually called me. He was suffering in silence and was being abused. And he did not know where to turn, and he did not have any education, and he just stayed there and took it because he thought he had to. And unfortunately, there are some women, we see it on the news, and it's sad. There's some women where even knowing that their children have been abused, that's not enough for them to get out. And so if those of us who have made it, if we can come together, if we can educate, if we can spill the beans, if we can shed light, if we can share our stories and give hope and encouragement to other people to get out, maybe we can save one family. We can save one child. We can save one son. We can save one family. If it's just one, we've done our job.
Right. Mm-hmm. I agree.
We went through was not just for us.
Yes, because I was sharing last week, I believe it was last week, because I'm also a student. And I've had the same young lady in all of my classes for the past 3 months. And I remember one day she came in and you could just tell something was wrong, but then tears started rolling down her face. So I just figured, you know, maybe she had lost a loved one. And I asked her if she was okay. Well, she got up and kind of ran out. Well, 2 weeks later, she actually called me, and she just started crying because she was in an abusive situation. She had already been raped. She was in the Air Force, so she had already been raped by her sergeant in command. And then her boyfriend at home began to abuse her. But what helped her come out was my homework assignments. We had to do all of our homework via video. So for me, because I eat, breathe, and sleep domestic violence, that's what my homework assignments was on. Whatever I can, whatever information I can get out, whatever warning signs, you know, just you know, whoever was listening, that's when I educate. And because of my videos, she called me. But what I did not know is that when she was calling me crying, she had a bottle of pills in front of her.
Ooh.
And it was either call me or take those pills. And I didn't know that till the last day of class when she got up in front of the class, because we all had to get up and explain what we learned from the class, what we took away from the class.
Yes.
She broke down and started crying. And that's when she came out and said, because of Wanda and her videos, you just never know who's listening. You just never know what's going on behind closed doors. And when she broke down and said, when I called her, I was sitting in front of a mirror with a bottle of pills, and it was either call her or take those pills. And all I could say was, my God.
Yes.
You know, you just, and when you say it's just that one person, it's just one life at a time. And you just
never know
how you can touch someone.
How you can touch someone, yes. You know, I mean, when I received my calling and God said, go fast, I call it the Peter syndrome. You know, I had a couple of seconds thinking, I mean, God, really me, like you want me to tell my story? You know, I'm still human. And so I initially, you know, was embarrassed. God, you want me to tell how I was stupid, how I was in two abusive relationships? You want me to tell what I allowed to be done to me? You want me to tell my children? I remember the day he told me to tell my children, and I argued with God left and right. He had his way.
Yes,
but I remember I remember God, you know, he works in mysterious ways, and I can't tell you how many times I receive phone calls from people that I do not know. I swear, I can't even explain to you how people find my number, somehow contact me, and, hey, Jennifer, I heard your story. I have someone. Can you please talk to them? My cousin, my friend, my sister, someone at the church, someone who I know. I just know your story. Can you just talk to them? And when God started bringing to me women who were stuck, literally, and they wouldn't talk to anyone else, but they would talk to a stranger, and they wanted my ear. And then they would listen to me. I remember the first woman who was sent to me, she was stuck. She was in St. Louis. She had 3 children, all under the age of 5. And she had been completely manipulated, completely controlled, money taken from her, car taken from her, being watched 24/7. She had guns put to her head. Her children had guns put to their head. Somehow, somebody got her to me. And we, for 2 weeks, snuck while he fell asleep, and we chatted on Facebook. We texted each other. She would have to erase everything as soon as she thought he was getting up. She would have to go downstairs and breastfeed the baby. And while she was doing that, she had the phone snuck underneath the blanket. And we're texting. We're making plans. I'm calling police. We're getting a backup plan and escape plan together. I'm in Texas.
Wow.
She's in St. Louis. I'm in Texas, and she's in St. Louis. We took 2 weeks. But you know what? She held on. She made it through. And we waited for just the opportunity. And we prayed every day. I mean, we prayed constantly. She would send me messages. She would delete. We had code words so I would know she was okay. I had police on standby. We had a taxi ready. I spent every dollar I had, and we waited for the moment. And the moment came, and he just got up and left. He said, I'll be back. But you know what? She listened to everything that I had told her. She had an escape bag. She just basically had 2 bottles. She had some diapers. She threw some clothes on those kids. She threw some tennis shoes on. She ran out the opposite direction, went to the cab that was waiting down the street that I had called from Texas. We got her in that taxi. I had the police. The police found the taxi. We followed her to the airport. She got onto the plane, and she got out. We did it all in a matter of maybe an hour. Oh, yeah. And it just touched my heart because so very thankful. She called me the other day, and she said, Miss Jennifer, I just want you to know, thank you. You saved me and my kids' lives. We started over. I'm happy. We're safe. He doesn't know where we are. I've done everything you've told me to do. I just want to tell you thank you for being obedient to God because you saved me and my kids.
Wow.
And so if my story, if my choice to shift on purpose, if me telling my story was just so that that woman and her kids, her kids wouldn't have the memories my kids have. That she has a fresh start. That she can have all the blessings that God has for her. Then so be it. That's what this call is about. That's what Shift on Purpose is about. It's about being 100% transparent, authentic, and sharing what I've learned, how I got out, so that hopefully someone else will pick it up, will read it, will share it, will tell it, and hopefully bring some other survivors along with me so we can go out and do what God's told us to do.
Yeah.
It's all Genesis 50:20. It is. He saved us so that he could save a whole lot of others. What the enemy meant to kill us, it didn't kill us so that God could use us to teach other women how to shift on purpose.
Wow. That's powerful. That is powerful. And I know when, I can remember when I received my calling, and you said like a couple of minutes, I fought for probably a little over a year because I am a private person, and I did think to myself, okay, you want me to tell what happened to me? You really?
Right, exactly.
And the people, my friends, you know, because for me, my story, my father and my stepfather raped me from 7 to 18. And then I met my ex-husband at 19 and was every form of abusive terminology you can think of until the age of 31. So I went through abuse for 24 years. And when I came out, my friends had been around my father. So they were like, I've lost some friends. I guess they really weren't friends. Because people were like, you know, they questioned it. Like, I made it up. Like, who does that? Who does that? But, you know, when God told me to be transparent, I promise you, I fought it for a little over a year. Because I'm like, I kept hearing him. And he's kept saying, be obedient. But I was just like, God, I can't, I don't want to do that. I don't want to tell my story. I don't want to put myself out there for other people to look at me like that happened to you. And then it's amazing because when I do go talk to and mentor to young women, when they see me coming, because of the way I carry myself, because mine came from my grandmother, because I used to model and be in pageants and, you know, walk with your head up and your shoulders back and, you know, be a lady and carry yourself this way. And even if you're going through something, don't wear it. So when I walk into a room to talk to and mentor young women, your first impression is you hadn't gone through anything. You don't look like you've gone through anything. But then when I get to talking to them and tell them what God has brought me through, they break down, they open up, they cry, they talk, because they look at me and say, I can do it too. That makes the walk, okay, God, I get it now. I get it. I understand it. Use me. But initially, I was like, you're like, what? I'm not, no. But it is amazing.
I can't tell how many people it is. It is. Absolutely. I think that's I share the same kind of story, same thing. When I do share, most people are like, you're lying. You know, who would have thought like that? Yes. You know, first of all, what does abuse look like? You know, like.
Exactly.
There's obviously a misconception that, you know, an abused woman has to look a certain way and walk a certain way. I remember I had someone tell me, an executive at a nonprofit for abusive women. I remember she told me, she said, Jennifer, you are the picture perfect person to be able to announce that you're a survivor. And I was like, what? Me? Picture perfect? She said, yes, because people don't understand. It's their sister. It's their neighbor. It's their coworker. It's their boss. It's the woman in the grocery store. It's the librarian. We're everywhere. People think that we're supposed to look a certain way, and we don't. It's the person that you don't even know went through abuse. Because we have to stand up. We have to pick our head up. We have to keep walking. We have to keep moving. We have to. And those of us who have survived, we've learned to survive and survive well. So, of course, people are like, what? You went through what? Yes, but when we're authentic and honest and open and we can share that, as you said, that's when others will put their guards down and say, if you went through it and you survived it, then I can too. And that's why I love what I do, because if I can encourage anyone by telling my story, if my daughter can encourage a teenage girl her age by telling her story, then it's all worth it, you know, for them to see, oh, that's what it looks like on the other side. Okay, I can get there too. You know, there is light at the end of the tunnel. You know, I too can.
Yeah.
So I'm 100% with you. I mean, I can't tell how many times people are like, you? Yes, me. And that's why I don't like saying I'm a victim. I'm not a victim. I was a survivor, but even now I firmly believe I'm not even a survivor. I am an advocate because I have the call on my life. I survived it, yes, but I am an advocate. I've got a mission. I have a purpose. But that's why I just don't like the term victim. I just don't like it.
I do understand that. And I know tomorrow Stephanie and I will be at Townview Magnet School. They're having their fifth annual JBS Criminal Justice Conference, and we're actually speaking there. And I'm really excited because we were there in October for Domestic Violence Month, and the kids, it was and a lot of people that are listening want people to also understand domestic violence is not just happening to adults. It is happening
right,
to our children.
To kids.
It is happening to our teenagers. And
yes.
It really yes. hit me because when we were there in October after we got through speaking, there were young ladies crying. There were young ladies coming up
yes.
to us, and it blew my
yes.
mind. I was just like, oh, my
yes.
God. And then for them to call me and say, hey, we're having this conference, and you touched so many kids. Will you come back? So I'm really honored to be a part of that tomorrow. And
awesome.
But I just want people to know that it's not any – we were talking about the way you look, but it also has no age. It doesn't matter
right.
how old you are or how young you are.
Yes.
Abuse
yes.
is happening mm-hmm. to everyone. So I do
yes.
want to touch on that.
Yeah, abuse does not discriminate. You know, you hear all the time that cancer doesn't discriminate, but the reality is that abuse doesn't discriminate. And I tell this to every, especially young lady and teenager that I speak to, whether it's male or female, abuse is learned. And so we have to realize that if our young men have grown up in a home and they've either been, statistics have shown it, recent studies, 2012, 2013, 2014, studies have shown that if our young men, our future kings, our sons, if they grew up in a home and saw abuse, heard abuse, know someone in their immediate family who was abusive or who was abused, or if they received abuse, they are 80 times more likely to be abusers themselves, okay? So they don't have to just receive the abuse themselves. They have to be exposed
mm-hmm.
to it. Well, guess
right.
abuse is learned. So take
it's
our
learned.
Young men. Let's say they saw it 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Now they're entering into their first relationships. They're teenagers. They're 13. They're 14. They're 15. Guess what? They're in this relationship with their girlfriends, and they're more than likely 8 out of 10 times being abusive to our young ladies. And so here our young ladies are in their first relationships with these our young men. They're being abused. They haven't been educated. Right? Then take our young ladies, if their mothers were abused or they were experienced
right.
abuse or if they saw abuse, we now have 2 young children who are bringing in what they abuse that they're bringing into a relationship. Hence, it's why we see our young ladies hitting young men, which is why we see our young men hitting,
mm-hmm.
abusing sexually, physically, emotionally, verbally, financially. That's why we're seeing it. That's why it's so prevalent right now in our community and in our teens. Because people do not understand that abuse is learned. And as long as it takes us to learn it, it takes that long, if not longer, to unlearn it. So, of
right.
course, our young women need us to say, I'm a survivor. This is what I've been through, and this is how I got out. Because they're in it, and they don't even know where to turn. It's prevalent. Again, education is everything. And with abuse, the more you learn, the more that you can educate others, the more that you can advocate, the more that we can help our future. If we don't help our kids now, we don't speak up now, we do not make ourselves known and seen now, we don't teach our girls how to shift on purpose, how to decide and make a choice that I am not going to be a victim, and I'm not going to be abused, and I'm not going to tolerate abuse. And by the way, abuse looks like this, and abuse involves emotional and mental and physical and sexual and financial. It's all of it. Until we teach them, they can't. Then they cannot make their own shift on purpose. We want them to make it on purpose so that they don't have to make it and it's too late after the fact. Let's teach them how to shift on purpose now and choose life and turn away from abuse. So I understand completely. I applaud you for speaking out. I love it. It's just, I think it just comes with the purpose.
Yes. And just to let everyone know that is on, we do have all the lines are opened up. So if you have any questions or comments, you can now address, say, if you have anything that you want to say, because the lines are open for anything anyone has anything to say that they may want to address or make a comment or anything. Well, if you choose to. Everyone's line is open.
Everybody's quiet.
Aren't they? We do want to give an opportunity for someone else to voice their opinions or concerns, because we
had one more person just come on to make their mic loud.
Okay. I see. Because I know we can, because we eat, breathe this. We can talk for days. But I just want to once again let everyone know that they're live. And if you have anything that you want to say, feel free to say it before the show ends. Now, Dr. Hobson, can you tell us where we can find your book?
Absolutely. So we have, obviously, we're on Amazon. We do have an ebook that's available. I will be doing a book signing first week of May.
Oh my God.
And I'm signing this weekend. So you can order signed hard copies.
Oh my God.
You can request a book copy at hobson.jennifer@gmail.com and submit your order directly. Again, hobson.jennifer@gmail.com. You can order the ebook online at www.shiftonamazon.com. So that's for the ebook. I'm also giving away anyone who requests it. We have a companion journal that goes along with Shift On. So it's a very much hands-on workbook that you can work through as you're looking at each chapter. For my chapter, I have a worksheet and questions for women to answer to identify maybe if they have signs in their relationship that show abuse, or if they're in an abusive relationship, here's the steps they can take. So I'm offering that free workbook for anyone who requests it. Otherwise, you can order on Amazon. Again, shiftonamazon.com for the ebook. You can order a hard copy signed by myself. You can submit your orders to hobson.jennifer@gmail.com. And again, it's Shift On, 20 Stories of Turning Trials into Triumph. I'll be having a book signing specifically just for this group. First week of May, so I'll be looking for that information. I'll obviously pass it to Wanda, and she can pass it on to the team. But I wanted to make this book available directly to this group for this purpose, to help as many women as we can.
That is awesome. And I did have to mute some lines because I could hear some feedback. So hopefully the person that I had to mute didn't have anything to say. But unfortunately with this recording, it picks up a whole lot. And we wanted to make sure that everyone that's listening could hear what she was saying, because, like I said, I did read her chapter, and I'm telling you, you need to get the book to read everyone that participated, that partaked in sharing their story, be it whatever God laid on their heart. But for her chapter, it's mind-blowing. What she went through, the abuse that she went through, and like I said, and she even mentioned her mother. Moms, it's really important how we raise our young ladies, how we raise our daughters. It is so important because we can't be with our children 24 hours, 7 days a week. But I
That's
promise
right.
you, if you lay the foundation down for them, when they stray, they'll
yes.
come back.
They'll come back.
They have to have something to revert back to. If we do
That's
not
right.
give them a guide, if we do not mentor our children, if we do not teach them from the mistakes that we learned.
That's right.
Because really, a lot of moms, especially me talking from experience, I taught my child what not to do because I had already
That's
done
right.
it.
Right.
Mom,
That's
by
it.
Reading her book, I'm telling you, that was one of the things that I took from her book was her mother. I wanted to personally meet her mom because that woman was extraordinary. Because when her daughter was at her lowest point, what brought her back, besides our Almighty God, was what her mother taught her, what her
yes,
mother drilled in her. And I just want to say, moms that are listening, now and later, we have got to be that role model, that example, that leader, that motivation, that whatever. Some kids now, they're into, you know, TV and internet. whatever your child looks up to, we mothers need to be that individual that they look up to. Not a superstar, and I'm a huge Beyonce fan, but not even a, not no one other than their mother needs
That's
to be
right.
the person that they look up to, that they hear in their heads. And I laugh at my daughter now because she'd be like, oh gosh, things that used to get on her nerves, me being in her ear, me being this, me being that. Now I see her, she's 23 years old. It is amazing because that foundation mm-hmm. was laid, and moms, we have
yes.
got to do that. Because
That's right.
for Dr. Hobson, she had her mother in her ear, even though her mother was not physically standing there. Her mother
that's
was
right.
in her ear, her voice, and that's what brought her to the point she's at now. Not taken away from God's word, but because the foundation that her mother laid, she had something
yes.
to revert back to. She knew her worth.
Right.
And a lot of
That's
these
right.
women, young ladies out here, do not know their worth.
That's right.
They're selling themselves short. And because of her mother taught her her worth. Ladies, we've got to teach our daughters. And they don't have to be our daughters. They can be a young lady that we mentor. We can
That's
take
right.
under our wing.
That's right.
And
That's
show
right.
them, because it's never too late for someone who wants to understand and know their worth. It's never too late to teach them. It's never too late to show them. And
That's
when
right.
God puts their hands, when he puts his hands on his chosen ones, when you are a chosen one, you have a responsibility. So, ladies,
That's right.
let's pull our young ladies in closer to us. For those that know right from wrong, for us, for those that know our worth, for those who know, okay, this is what we need to do. We don't have to be a superstar, a pop star, a movie star, a supermodel. We are God's chosen one, which is bigger than anything else. So I just
Absolutely.
Wanted to also thank you for being obedient. Because that's
it's
important.
Thank you.
And I know our time goes by really fast, and the hour is almost over. So is there anything? And if someone has background noise, so they can mute their phone, I would really appreciate it because I'm hearing a lot of background noise. Is there anything, Dr. Hobson, that you want to say?
Thank you again. This has just been an honor just to share my story, to share my book, my chapter and shift on. Great experience. Again, 20 stories of turning trials into triumphs. Thank you for reading my story. Thank you for just sharing it, allowing me to be obedient. I appreciate what you're doing in this community. I appreciate we are survivors. Keep doing what you're doing. Thank you for being obedient. Thank my family, my children who support me in my walk, in my purpose. That it's just a godsend, those that are around me. You know, God is a good God, and he's sent someone very special in my life. My children are healthy and happy. We're saved. So I'm thankful. I'm thankful for my shift, and looking forward to doing more work with the group.
Yes, we definitely will be talking more. Because God is really opening some doors for us. He's constantly doing that. So we're really excited about some things that are getting ready to take place. And I'm just thankful that he crossed our paths. And
yes.
we're going to make sure that we continue to change lives and
Absolutely.
Do that and make that positive shift.
That's right.
Wow. I'm telling everyone, if you please go get her book. You'll read it, and then you're going to reach out to her because then you're going to have questions. See, she didn't dive into it, but I'm telling you, I read it. And when I started reading it, I read it nonstop. You've got to buy the book. And unfortunately, this hour has come to a close. Feel free to contact me and or Stephanie with any questions or comments, survivor stories. Every so often we do read a survivor story. The direct number is 214-454-2933, Stephanie, did you give your number out already?
Actually, I forgot to when I was doing the fundraisers. It's 817-320-2571. I apologize, you guys.
Our email address is wearesurvivorsfoundation@gmail.com. I want to thank God for you listening, and I pray that today something was said on this show that touches your heart. We are here to help, support, guide, to listen, and to lift you up in the name of Jesus. We will always worship his holy name. God bless everyone. Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Bye-bye.